the puck drops, the words that DC fans have been waiting to hear since 1974. The Washington Capitals are the 2018 Stanley Cup champions. It's not a dream. It's not a desert mirage. It's Lord Stanley, and he is coming to Washington.
The call on CapsRadio247.com as the Capitals win their first Stanley Cup. Welcome to this special podcast here. I'm From the Press Box to Press Row. I'm the host of From the Press Box to Press Row, Donald Ware. I wanted to do this special podcast because I grew up in Washington and a huge Washington sports fan. It all began, really, both of my parents are from Washington, D.C. As a matter of fact, my father played football at Howard University. He's a Howard Hall of Famer. Also had a tryout with the Washington Redskins in 1970 under the great Vince Lombardi. So it was born in me that I was going to be a Washington fan all of my life. And, you know, I really grew up listening to Washington sports on the radio more so. I guess I would call myself a different kind of kid. I would go to bed listening to Washington Capitals games, go to bed listening to Washington Bullets games. At times when the Redskins would play, let's say, a 4 o'clock game on a Sunday, radio is a lot different now. You have these long pregame shows, long postgame shows. It wasn't like that back in the day. So when the Redskins, let's say, would play a 4 o'clock game on Sunday, I would have a bedtime maybe of 8 o'clock. I would go to bed listening to Ken Beatrice's sports call. Ken Beatrice on WMAL AM 63, as they used to call it. And so I grew up a huge Washington fan. Now, with respect to baseball, and you Washington fans out there, don't try to get brand new on me because the Washington Nationals are around now, and act like you didn't cheer for the Baltimore Orioles coming up. That was our Washington. That was our baseball team. The Baltimore Orioles were our baseball team in Washington. So I also grew up a huge Baltimore Orioles fan. I didn't have a chance to know the Washington Senators, who I think left Washington in 1972, a couple of years before I was born. I live in North Carolina now, so I still will cheer for the Nationals, but I'm a huge Baltimore Orioles fan as well. So with the Capitals winning this Stanley Cup, it's huge for a number of different reasons. Number one, I can remember growing up listening and watching the games on WDCA Channel 20, I think is who first carried Washington Capitals games. We didn't have cable until 1990. So I know HTS, Home Team Sports, carried most of the Washington games. They carried Orioles, Bullets, and Capitals. But I can remember growing up a Capitals fan, learned the game of hockey, went to some hockey games, remember the guy at that time, the name that most notably comes to my mind is Rod Langway. He was a defenseman for the Capitals. He was one of the last players in, because it became a mandate eventually, I would say, I don't know, maybe sometime in the 90s, maybe early 90s, something like that, where it became a mandate that you had to wear a helmet in the National Hockey League. Well, Rod Langway was sort of grandfathered into that because he didn't have to wear a helmet. He didn't have to wear a helmet. You know, he came in, and even when they mandated that, he didn't have to wear a helmet. He was one of the last players that did not have to, in fact, wear a helmet. So that name comes to mind. The successes of the Capitals maybe early on weren't that great. The Capitals began as a franchise the 73-74 season, and that was actually, I was born in 1974, so I grew up, I'm essentially as old as the Washington Capitals are, but can remember watching a lot of the games on TV, and it was just exciting, but it wasn't, you know, the Capitals weren't great per se. They just weren't. I mean, they were a good franchise with good players. I also think back when I think back to the Capitals. I think back to the run that they made in the Stanley Cup in 1998 with the guy by the name of Peter Bondra, was one of the stars of the National Hockey League and the star of the Capitals. I believe also part of that squad was Olaf Kolzig, who was the goalie who made a lot of saves as well. But then, you know, for the Capitals, it sort of was up and down for the last 20 years, although I must say the last, I don't know, 5 years. I mean, the Capitals were one of the preeminent teams in all of the NHL, but they could never get over that hump. And the biggest hump in their way was the Pittsburgh Penguins. They would constantly lose to Pittsburgh. It's been within, like I said, the last 5 years, two or three of those years, the Capitals had the best record in the NHL, yet could never get past really the second round of the Eastern Conference. And so for what the Capitals were able to do this year with them winning the Stanley Cup, let's not forget that the Capitals were down 2-0 to Columbus. And you think, oh boy, here we go again, the season's over. They roar back to win that 4-2, and then it was on from there, beating, of course, the Penguins. They needed to get that win, and they got it. Then they beat Tampa Bay and then ultimately defeated the Las Vegas Golden Knights to, in fact, win the Stanley Cup. This Stanley Cup for the Washington Capitals means not only what it means to the Capitals as an organization, but it means everything to the Washington sports scene. It had been since 1991 or the 91-92 season that a Washington pro sports franchise had won a world championship. Of course, the Washington Redskins mean everything to the Washington area. They're the longest, I mean, when you think about the Redskins, they moved from Boston to Washington back in the 30s, and they won at least one, maybe a couple of NFL titles when you go back to the 40s. And they were one of the better teams in all of the National Football League. And then, of course, they were the first actually franchise, or the last franchise, I should say, to have a black player on their team when they traded for Bobby Mitchell. They traded to get Bobby Mitchell from the Cleveland Browns. And then, I don't know, the latter part of the 60s, not really sure how good the Redskins were. And then, of course, Vince Lombardi comes as the head coach of the Redskins in 1970. He passes on. George Allen becomes the head coach. And then the Redskins go to the Super Bowl in 1972. They lose to the Miami Dolphins 14-7. And then it was just some bad years from there, some really bad years in the 70s for the Skins until Joe Gibbs became the head coach. And then three Super Bowls later, the Redskins world champions after the 1982 season, after the 1986 season, and then after the 1991 season, the Washington Redskins were world champions. But again, this means a lot to Washington sports because the Redskins have been up and down. And again, you talk about 1991 being the last year, not only that the Redskins won a championship, but that any team in the Washington pro sports scene had won a world title. And so with the Redskins, even more recently, it's sort of been up and down. I mean, if you look at them right now, the jury is out. They have made the playoffs a couple of times in the last 5 years, but this jury is still out on the Redskins. But this Redskins organization means everything to Washington. Some great players have come through the Redskins. I mean, when you talk about to me, Joe Theismann was your guy. He was the preeminent quarterback for the Redskins. Well, let me back up. So I say Theismann because Theismann won. He won a title. And as a matter of fact, the Redskins won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. But even before them, even before Theismann, it was Sonny Jurgensen. Sonny Jurgensen was the man, one of the great quarterbacks of all time, came to Washington from Philadelphia. And then also you had Billy Kilmer, who he and Jurgensen battled back in the 70s for supremacy of that quarterback spot. As a matter of fact, that quarterback spot in Washington is one of the most high-profile positions in all of professional sports. And so, but Theismann was the guy, and then ultimately the next guy who became a hero, particularly in the black community, was Doug Williams. Doug Williams became the first quarterback that was black to lead his team to a Super Bowl victory. Of course, Doug Williams played his collegiate ball at the great Grambling University, and he was a hero. Doug Williams, and still is to this day, as a matter of fact, a hero. When you think about Doug Williams, I got to know him as the coach of what I do here with Box to Row and the coach of Grambling, so I got to know him a little bit intimately. So when you kind of know somebody or get to know somebody on a certain level, you sort of forget a little bit what he means to a certain community or a fan base or what have you at large. But Doug Williams means everything to the Redskins, and then more specifically at that time to the black community, because what he was able to do had never been done before. But the Redskins, a big part of a huge part, maybe the team when you talk about pro sports in all of the Washington area. But it had been since 1991, or the 91 season, that the Redskins had won a Super Bowl. So for the Capitals to do, and I'm tying all of this in, so for the Capitals to do what the Capitals did was huge, because the Redskins have been down. Take a look at the Washington Bullets / Wizards and what they meant to Washington. Of course, the Bullets were the Baltimore Bullets before they came to Washington. They came to Washington maybe the latter part of the 60s, early part of the 70s, I believe. And as a matter of fact, Earl the Pearl Monroe never played for the Washington Bullets. He played for the Baltimore Bullets, and of course ultimately got traded to the New York Knicks. But when you think about those Washington teams of the 70s, you think about Elvin Hayes, and you think about all of those great players. Bobby Dandridge was part of that 70s legacy of the Washington Bullets. You think about Wes Unseld as part of that Washington Bullets legacy of the 70s. Ultimately, the Bullets able to win the NBA title in 1978, got back to the NBA title in 1979 and lost to the Seattle Supersonics. It was actually a rematch of the NBA title game of 1978, the title game in 1979, of course, with the Seattle Supersonics winning that. But then it got bad for the Bullets. It really got bad for them. I mean, they were still in some contention. I would say the early part to the middle part of the 80s or so, they would make the playoffs. You know, they had guys like Jeff Rulin, Jeff Malone, you know, some of those Gus Johnson, some of those guys that were really good players, but they could never get over the hump. And then it really went bad for the Bullets mid towards the latter part of the 80s into the 90s. It didn't start to get good for the Bullets until about the mid-90s. So for about a 10 to 12 year period, it was really bad for the Bullets. But they had some good players that came through Washington. Bernard King, superstar scorer for the Nets and the Knicks, ultimately came to become a Bullet. Moses Malone was a Bullet as well. Those were the two guys that the Washington Bullets could really market, but they just didn't have really good teams. As a matter of fact, it was a big drought for the Bullets even making the playoffs. I mean, if I think back, it seems to me maybe the Bullets made the playoffs, I don't know, maybe 85, 86, something like that. They played Detroit and lost in the first round, and then they didn't make the playoffs again until 1996. So the Bullets have had, / Wizards have had, these stretches where they wouldn't even make the playoffs and they would be one of the worst teams in the league. But Abe Pollin, brought the Capitals to Washington, brought the Bullets from Baltimore to Washington, a great owner, stuck with them, and then ultimately sold the team to Ted Leontis, who's now the owner of both the Wizards and the Capitals. But some hard times for the Bullets, but then they became the Wizards But before they became the Wizards, they were able to draft a guy by the name of Tom Gugliotta out of NC State, who was a good player. They ultimately traded Googs to get Chris Webber and then drafted Juwan Howard. They also made a trade to get Rod Strickland. They had George Mirason, Tim Legler, who you hear on ESPN all the time, was part of that team. That was a pretty good team. Some other players not coming to my mind, but that was a pretty good team that 96-97 season where the Bullets ultimately went to the playoffs. They lost in three games to the Chicago Bulls, but even the great Michael Jordan said that's going to be a team to be reckoned with. Wouldn't you know it, the next season, the Bullets one game out of making the playoffs, and then it totally went downhill from there. Webber, Howard got into a little bit of trouble. Webber ultimately eventually traded to the Sacramento Kings, and then it just became a down period for then what was called the Wizards. Just some bad trades, some bad players on the books, some bad moves ultimately led to where the Wizards once again became a bad team. But then somewhere along the way, they were able to pick up Jerry Stackhouse. They were able to pick up Jameson. They were able to pick up Larry Hughes. And then somehow it sort of turned around where the Wizards became a playoff contender. They ultimately were able to go out and get Gilbert Arenas. And once they got Gilbert Arenas, boy, they sort of took it to another level. Now, Gilbert did not live up ultimately to what he could have been, but it ushered in a new era for Wizards basketball. I can remember going to, I believe it was a game six at home. This was back in 2008 where the Wizards were hosting the Bulls. And the Wizards won that game. It was the first time that the Wizards had won, won a home game in the playoffs for a long, long time. And I can remember being part of the celebration. It was almost like the Wizards had won a playoff series or had won an NBA title, the way that people were outside celebrating on F Street, celebrating on 7th Street, the Wizards winning a game. They ultimately went on to lose that series, unfortunately. And now we move on some 10 years later where the Wizards are, you know, they're just a piece or two away from taking it to that next level with the leader of that team, John Wall. And as a matter of fact, before I take a look at the Baltimore Orioles and then a little bit at the Washington Nationals, look at what you have in Washington when you talk about star players. With the Capitals, you have Alex Ovechkin, who's a superstar player, one of the best two or three players in all of the NHL, if not the best player in all of the NHL. You got to be happy for him winning that Stanley Cup. You have Harper in Washington. I mean, you know, you just look at a couple of years ago, he was a unanimous selection for the National League MVP. And then you have John Wall, who may be the best pure point guard in all of the NBA, one of the top 20 players in the NBA. So you got three superstars right there in Washington. The Redskins still sort of looking for that superstar. But, you know, you're talking about star players. Those three guys are star players. Let's sort of take a look at the Orioles. And again, what I'm doing, I'm of course, Donald Ware's this special podcast. I am the host of the National Sports Talk Show from the Press Box to Press Row. I'm a Washingtonian, just taking you through kind of the history of Washington sports and why this victory by the Washington Capitals as Stanley Cup champions means everything for all of Washington. A lot of ups, but I would say a lot more downs when you talk about the history and the more recent history in the last 40 years of, well, really more specifically, the last 20 years or so, 25 years of Washington sports. So the Baltimore Orioles, who again, Washingtonians cheered for, listen, Washingtonians, don't try to act like and get brand new because you have the Nationals that you didn't cheer for the Orioles. And then Baltimore folks, don't take it the wrong way that we adopted the Baltimore Orioles as our team. But you have the Orioles that again, you talk about Washington struggles. The Orioles had those struggles as well. Now, early on, when you talk about the 70s, the Orioles were one of the teams. And you talk about players, Brooks Robinson, Frank Robinson, Jim Palmer, you know, really, really good players for the Orioles. The Orioles seemed like they won the 1970 World Series. They lost the 69 World Series to those amazing Mets, but they had some success. Did the Orioles. And then you go look at the Orioles, the early part of the 80s, and then it ultimately culminated with a world championship in 1983 with the likes of Rick Dempsey at catcher and a young Cal Ripken at shortstop and Eddie Murray at first base, and Ken Singleton was part of that team. Al Bumrey played, I think, in the outfield. He played in the outfield, maybe more specifically center field. He was a graduate or went to Virginia State. They had some really good players on that Orioles team, and then Earl Weaver was the manager, and then somewhere just went totally wrong to the point that in 1988, the Orioles started the season 0-21. It was the worst start in the history of Major League Baseball for a team to start to lose their first 21 games. That next year, as a matter of fact, interestingly enough, the Orioles started out great and really seemed like they were on their way to winning the American League East and just totally blew it. They just fizzled out and totally blew it. But I guess you'd have to say all in all that 89 season was a decent season considering how 88 went. Then it just it continued to be bad until the middle part of the 90s when it started to turn around. Mike Mussina, you know, Roberto Alomar, those are the names that come to mind that made the Orioles relevant again, and they were playoff contenders. Seemed like they were playing for a pennant at 1 year, an AL pennant, ended up losing to, you know, they. I think even 1 year they got robbed maybe by the Yankees. Seemed like a home run that should have been a home run was taken, or a Yankees home run was caught by a fan in the outfield, and it was should have been fan interference, and it wasn't, and it led the Yankees to ultimately really what started the Yankee success. Because the Yankees weren't that great either, but ultimately started the Yankees' success as well. Orioles played, it seemed like the Cleveland Indians battled with the Indians as well. Then somewhere along the way, it just sort of went bad, and it's been bad, had been bad for quite some time. Probably, I would say, for the next almost 12 years or so. Buck Showalter became manager. It started to get better, and then you look at the Orioles. They've made some postseason runs here the last 5 years or so. They've been in the postseason twice, but boy, 2018. And really, they've had some struggles as well, because you can look at the Orioles the last 2 years or so where it looked like they had really good teams start out really good, and then the midway through the season still be okay. And then the sort of the bottom seems like the bottom fell out for the Orioles towards the latter part of the season. So you talk about Orioles struggles as well. Then you look at the Nationals. The Nationals came in the mid part of the 2000s, have had some success more recently, but it was a little bit of a struggle for them. You know, Frank Robinson and the Nationals had seemed like some decent years early on. They were competing at least for a team that had just moved from Montreal to Washington, and that was a Montreal Expos organization that was bad, okay, was bad, came to Washington. Seemed like they were okay in the beginning, but then it just wasn't going well for the Nationals. But you could say the last couple of years it started to turn around, although if I look at that team last year, that was a team that should have won the World Series. Dusty Baker, in my opinion, should not have been fired, but he ultimately was fired. And after last season, which was a good season, but just they came up short in the postseason. But it seems like the Nationals are on the right track right now. I've got so much passion for Washington sports, and this is why I'm here in Carolina, but this is why this Washington Capitals win means everything. I was there in Washington in 1998 when the Capitals got swept by Detroit. And so for the Capitals to be able to do what they did, not only for themselves, but for the Washington area. Now, we weren't as bad. Now, when Cleveland, the Cavaliers, won the championship, the NBA title 2 years ago, Washington wasn't as bad as Cleveland. It had been 50 years or in excess of 50 years since the last time a Cleveland pro sports team won a championship. So Washington wasn't that bad, but the expectations, Washington's a big town. It's a powerful town. It's the capital of the world when you think about it from the political scene. And for the Washington pro sports team not to have a title since 1991, you're talking about a long time. I mean, you're talking about really 27 years since the last time a Washington pro sports team won a title. I mean, within that time, the Maryland Terps won the men's program, won the national championship in 02. The women's program won the national championship basketball, that is, in 06. And I think the lacrosse program may have won, the Maryland lacrosse program may have won a national championship as well. But when you're talking about pro sports, I'm all about Washington. Grew up in the Washington area. So for me to be able to see that the Capitals and watch on TV the Capitals win that Stanley Cup for the first time in their existence, and again, bringing a championship home to Washington for the first time since 1991 meant everything to me. And Washingtonians who are Washington sports fans understand exactly where I'm coming from. We've had some highs. I've mentioned the highs, but the Bullets, that was 1978. The last time the Bullets won the championship, that was 40 years ago. When the three Super Bowl championships for the Redskins, but that seems like so long ago, the 80s and then the early part of the 90s when the Redskins were having success. We have not seen that kind of success. Yes, the Redskins have made the playoffs a handful of times. 1999, they made the playoffs. They made the playoffs two times when Joe Gibbs came back as the head coach. They made the playoffs two times in 5 years. They made the playoffs under Shanahan after the 2012 season. And then more recently, they made the playoffs a couple of times. But in each of those scenarios, seemed like maybe one of those years with Joe Gibbs, when he came back the second time around, maybe they won a first round playoff game, but then lost in the second round, but they never got back close to the Super Bowl. And so again, tying all of the pro sports, the Washington pro sports franchises, which again includes the Baltimore Orioles for me anyway, and for the Capitals to be able to now, you know, if you're a Nationals player, you know, if you're a Nationals player and the Capitals have brought that Stanley Cup to the ballpark and you've been able to celebrate with those Capitals, you got to have it in your mind now. We want that trophy. It's good for Washington, but the Nationals have not won that trophy. The Nationals are going to want to win that trophy. When the basketball season comes back around and the Capitals are going to continue to celebrate that Stanley Cup being the defending Stanley Cup champions, I think it's going to rub off on John Wall and his guys and the Washington Wizards to go out and try to get that championship. The Wizards are contenders. I think they need one more piece, a power piece, but they can be contenders in that Eastern Conference. Once the Redskins season starts back up and the Capitals still maybe do some, I don't know, yeah, may probably would do some kind of celebration there with the Redskins, since hockey season would not quite have started once the National Football League starts. That should rub off on the Redskins. Don't know if they have a Super Bowl contending team. Not sure about that. But the fact of the matter is, hopefully this is a team that can at least make it back to the playoffs and then ultimately see where you go from there. Thank you for joining me on this special podcast where you allow for me and listen to me talk about the passion that I have for pro sports in Washington as a Washingtonian, more specifically from Silver Spring, representing Silver Spring, Maryland, and what the Capitals Stanley Cup win means for the Washington sports scene. Again, join me each and every week on From the Press Box to Press Row. You're on our website, BoxToRow.com. Peruse the website. Find a radio station in your area that carries the show, and I'll talk with you this weekend. Also, follow us on Twitter at BoxToRow, B-O-X-T-O-R-O-W, and on Facebook, B-O-X, the number 2, R-O-W. Have a great day.